The Sports Gambling Podcast is brought to you today by Amazon. Amazon, your lead pipe lock for online retail. Log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and click the Amazon link to support the podcast. Welcome, everybody, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. Ryan, what do you think of this Mike D'Antoni coming to coach the Los Angeles Lakers?
I like how you gave him an extra A there.
It's just D'Antoni, right?
Yeah. You did D'Antoni. I like that.
Yeah, it sounds
extra
like
Italian.
Extra Guido special.
Yeah, I don't know. It's great. All the Laker fans are getting excited about Phil Jackson. And a couple of Laker fans I know specifically hate Mike D'Antoni. And it was pretty amusing when I saw they signed him. I don't know. I don't think this team... I think this is a time you maybe buy another team in the West. They're still going to be there, but I don't know. D'Antoni's just not a good in-game coach. He'll get you points. We'll see if they play defense. Also, I mean, how do you run the D'Antoni system with two bigs?
This seems to be a setup for guys who are great at shooting and really fast, and this doesn't seem to be the Lakers team at all. Am I wrong?
I mean, typically, D'Antoni would play like Amari at his center, so his four could shoot threes. So it's going to be interesting what happens with this team, but...
Well, now, let's real quick break this down. It sounded like they said to Phil Jackson either Friday or I think they told him Saturday, hey, we'll talk in 2 days. We're going to talk to other candidates, but basically you have the job. We'll talk to you in 2 days. Or, you know, Phil basically said, hey, can you give me 2 days to think about this? I'll talk to you guys on Monday. Then he claimed they called him up Saturday night at midnight and basically said, no, we gave the job to D'Antoni. Now, there's basically two ways this shakes out. Either... the one camp that the Lakers side is claiming that they're basically making it sound like Phil Jackson had no intention of ever coaching the Lakers. He just wanted to try to embarrass, the management over there, kind of trying to stick it to him somehow by asking for all this crazy stuff. And then the Phil Jackson side was that they didn't really want him to coach. They just wanted to make it seem like they wanted him to coach, and maybe they were surprised that he actually was interested in coaching. But maybe they felt like, okay, we just got to extend this. We just got to extend this offer to placate the Lakers fans, meanwhile not really thinking that I don't think the Lakers ever really wanted Phil Jackson to coach. I don't think management and ownership like him personally, and I don't think they feel like paying that much money for a coach.
Here's why I'm on the side of the coach. All the stuff that came out afterwards about how he was wanting to not coach road games and all this other, and have his assistants coach some of the home. It's all like slander against Phil Jackson.
Yeah,
this clearly was what Jim Buss, is that his name?
Yeah,
it seems like Jim Buss is trying to make his own name, and
it seems weird. I don't. What does Phil Jackson have to gain? He seems like a pretty zened out guy. He was probably sitting on his ranch, smoking blunts, chilling out. What does he have to gain by trying to drag the Lakers' ownership's name through the mud? It seems like it would be a waste of time. And they must have known. I don't think his demands changed that much from when he originally left the Lakers. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny, though, because the stranger thing is that somehow Mike Dunleavy's name was also in the conversation. I don't know.
Well, you hear Kobe Bryant. He was like, yeah, D'Antoni was my first choice because, I didn't even think Phil was in the mix. I didn't even think that was a chance.
Yeah.
I guess he has some relationship with D'Antoni going back from his days as a youngster in Italy. But I don't know, man. The greatest thing is the soundbite was, Kobe's like, yeah, they knew I was cool with that. They had my blessing on that one.
it's all very strange. I don't know. I guess we'll see if it works out.
Just so hilarious. I forget who was pointing this out, but you install this new offense, and there's plenty of evidence out there that Kobe Bryant was supportive of the Princeton offense in the offseason. The point guard you bring in to run this offense is out for 3 of the 5 games that you let the coach before you fire him. It seems like one of the greatest overreactions of all time.
Well, not only was so you brought in 2 big acquisitions. One was injured, and the other was coming back from injury.
You gave them no attempt to gel.
What I don't get is if you knew you were going to give him a short lease, why not just fire him last year before the season? So you had a guy come in, prepare the team. I don't know.
Yeah, what drastically changed in these 5 games that you no longer believed in Mike Brown?
He was a bad coach. He probably should have been fired at the end of last year, but...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I guess it's like, why do you do this now? If you start the season with Mike Brown, I don't see why you don't finish it with Mike Brown.
I don't think Jim Buss knows what he's doing.
These guys, Lakers have just benefited from great fortune. They got Kobe Bryant, and they got Shaq, and they got Phil Jackson because Phil Jackson wants to coach the best players.
Well, and do you know who they traded for Kobe Bryant? Or who they got Kobe Bryant for?
Now, wait, they drafted Kobe Bryant, right?
No,
but
Kobe Bryant was drafted by the Hornets, I believe.
And he was traded on draft day?
Draft day trade for Vlade Divac.
Oh yes. Lakers fans were upset, weren't they?
Yeah, did you see the, there were a bunch of, like, fake articles about Phil Jackson's demands, or, like, just one-liners?
Yeah.
One of them? He wanted to move half the Lakers' home games to Denver to take advantage of the new marijuana laws.
Nice.
There's no way Phil Jackson would care enough to try to like cause the Lakers' problems. It doesn't make any sense.
Why would he? I mean, okay, maybe he has a bone to pick, so he goes on a sports talk radio interview, or he writes.
Did he go on an interview?
No,
I don't think so. Right?
Well, he said the whole thing felt pretty slimy. But, I mean, prior to this, like, let's say, you know, the Lakers are making it seem like he had an axe to grind and he had outrageous demands. But it just seems like a lot of calories to burn for what?
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, let's get to the sport that everyone cares about, the National Football League. I had a great week of picks, and I owe it all to the fact of the Eagles being eliminated. I can finally look at these picks in a rational way, and it feels great.
I feel like this happened last year, or 2 years ago, too.
What, when the Eagles get knocked out, I get a moment of clarity?
When the Eagles season is over, you go on a little bit of a tear picking games.
Yeah, I was killing it, especially with the morning games, or the early slate. Starting with the Thursday night game, I was all over this Indianapolis -3, -3.5. Felt like easy money to me, even though the Thursday night has been great to the dogs. Indianapolis went into Jacksonville, took apart that Jags team 27-10. What can you say, Ryan?
That line jumped to 3.5, and it tempted me to tease Jacksonville. Man, they're so bad. It's annoying.
Well, you see 3.5-point home dog, and you're like, wow, that's great for a primetime game. But that's factoring in... These players will get pumped up to be at home. I mean, when you have a quarter full stadium, you're almost penalized by a home game.
Yeah, really got to start paying attention more starting around week 7 to teams that just give up. And I don't know, I feel like Jacksonville's probably got one more big home division, maybe against the Texans, I don't even know, but... I feel like the Eagles are in the same boat where I'm kind of scared to think they've given up because they can go on those retarded late season runs that don't mean anything.
Well, I guess in the Eagles' difference or the Eagles' case, guys are playing for the jobs. Seemingly, there's a lot more talent in place and a shakeup's inevitable. The Jags just feel like a really broken franchise top to bottom.
But yeah, Indy, 6-3.
6-3 against the spread. They're looking good. All right, the Cincinnati Bengals were at home, 4-point dogs. Felt like a great time for me to call my upset special, and it was, as they delivered 31-13 against your New York Giants, Ryan. Giants got caught looking ahead to the bye week. What's the spin here?
I meant to do this before the show, but I wanted to look up Tom Coughlin's record against the AFC since he's been a coach. Because I feel like every year I forget, and then I get reminded after they play really crappy against a crappy team how, God, they really, if there's not a reason to get up for the game, they just don't. It's really remarkable. It's almost
it was a couple different trends going.
It's almost Coughlin was like, all right, we really gotta lose a game here so we can have some motivational.
Well, it's just a classic
fodder down the stretch.
I mean, how can you? I mean, it just almost the only thing that scared me about this pick was that it seemed too obvious. This is the same Giants team we see every November, who seemingly falls apart. They get their back up against the wall, and then they make a push in December and into the playoffs. It felt, you know, a non-conference road game right before a bye week just seemed like a great trap game.
What's crazy is since the first Super Bowl, I mean, typically, if you're a New York team and you start playing like this, the fans just get on it. But it's almost like this is the strangest reaction to like a mid-season collapse. It's just like, oh, good. I would have felt better. I feel better about this than I do if they were 8-2.
Yeah, which I feel like you can only go to that well so many times. Eventually, you're going to get beat out by that. But the Giants are fortunate that they're in the NFC East, which, I mean, what, the Cowboys are the closest at 4-5?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they're two games back, and they've already split the division game. So Giants still have a comfortable two-game lead.
Yep.
All right, Ryan. Oh, man, I think this was a classic lead pipe lock for us here at the Sports Gambling Podcast. Tennessee Titans, the Close Your Eyes special, they underperformed the spread by 21 points the previous week and went into Miami as 6-point dogs. Not only did they cover that 6-point, Ryan, but they beat the Dolphins 37-3 in Miami. Just put a shellacking on this team.
I don't know if can you remember a time when a Close Your Eyes special has produced another Close Your Eyes special the following week?
I don't know. I feel like it probably has involved the Kansas City Chiefs. I can't give you any historical data.
I mean, but not this way. Like, I could see back-to-back horrible. Oh, my goodness. If you had told me before the game, over-under on Tennessee points at, you know, 21.5, I probably would have taken the under.
Yeah. No,
so,
this, I mean,
really crazy.
We were all over the Titans here, but
Jake Locker has kind of seems to have some respect from that team. They played hard.
Yeah, and he was running. I didn't realize what a, I don't know. He just, he's just an interesting scrambler. He just finds angles. He's tough to take down.
And my man, Chris Johnson.
Johnson.
Another 100 yards and a touchdown.
Yo-yo, man.
Dude, guy's automatic. That's why he's the number one pick.
Right, Ryan. Speaking of number one picks, my prop pick to win the NFC North, Minnesota Vikings, putting on a nice victory against the Detroit Lions, 34-24 at home. AP running hard. This is just felt like a game Minnesota was going to win. Felt good about this all week.
I wasn't going to touch this to bet on. I might have even said I picked Detroit on the show last week.
Yeah,
but when I got over here and to watch games and the line was Minnesota +3 +105, I mean, you're begging me to take that.
Yeah, I mean, on a neutral field, this Lions team is not 6 points better than Minnesota. This line was shocking to me. I don't know why this.
That's a two point adjustment for Percy Harvin. I know he's important, but do they watch how hard Adrian Peterson runs?
It's one of the hardest. I mean, I'm becoming an Adrian Peterson fan just because the guy plays the game at such an intense level. It's hard not to like him. I mean, Ryan, if I was setting the line on this, I would have thought Minnesota -3 going into that game, and that would have felt like a fair line.
And with the Percy Harvin injury and the way they've been playing, I could
maybe
see,
2.5.
I could see why it was
but
a pick.
But they played tough against
I could see why it was a pick 'em, but to make them a full field goal dog at home, that's crazy.
Yeah, they played tough in Seattle.
I feel like AP is one of those guys I think I would go watch. Even if it wasn't a Giants game, I'd go to a Minnesota game just to watch Adrian Peterson.
Amazing. And especially after the ACL injury.
It's only not – like he injured it, what, last January, December? I mean, he's not even – he's, what, 10 months removed from an ACL? That's crazy.
Yeah, and it's not like he's just getting into form. No. He was doing it from week one on.
And he's running dudes up. Oh, he's so good.
Speaking of beasts, the Buffalo Bills took care of business in New England, covering the 11-point spread, even though, man, they just find a way to lose. Classic, classic adage for the Bills. They had a chance. They had a drive. They were looking for some of that Fitz magic that's been elusive ever since he signed that massive contract. Lost to the Patriots 37-31, but getting 11 points. And like I said, always feel good about division games, rivalry games, especially if you're getting double digits here.
An interesting nugget about Buffalo from our friend Chris Berman. The Buffalo Bisons now share the all-time record with the Kansas City Chiefs for not having a lead until their ninth game.
Wow. That's insane.
That's crazy.
All right, Ryan, one game I was wrong on, and a lot of people seemingly felt good about this Saints team. I wasn't quite a believer yet, but the Saints took care of business at home. Everyone was waiting in the gambling community and all around for the Falcons to slip up. A lot of people were calling this Falcons team a pretender, and they lost the division game on the road 31-27. It's not shaking me too much for the Falcons. I think they are who we thought they were, and that is very good at home and still pretty solid on the road. This just felt like situationally not a great matchup for them.
It's pretty crazy. I mean, this was week 10. Do you remember the hype that the Patriots were getting by week 10 a couple years ago in 2007?
Yeah.
I feel like Atlanta was getting no hype. They barely mentioned the whole Miami Dolphins can pop the champagne. I mean, normally that's like a big deal.
Yeah, they barely. What happened to the interview with Larry? No, who's it that?
Larry won? Zonka?
No,
Dan,
there's
Don Shula.
No, there's a who's the black running back or?
Oh, I don't know.
There's like a character who's I gotta look that up. But there's a character on the 72 Dolphins who's always celebrating. Maybe like Mercury Morris or something.
Yeah, I don't know. This Atlanta team, man, they so according to the Football Outsiders, their DVOA rating system, the Atlanta Falcons were the worst 8-0 team since they have stats. So I think that's like the last 30 years.
8-0, but it's not like they were still pretty solid against the spread. I don't know if you can look up on
even more reason to start fading them.
Yeah,
that's gonna.
I think they
were 8-0 and 6-2 against the spread.
Yeah, so made sense that they would have a slip up.
And their best case scenario teams against the spread are usually what 10-6, maybe 11-5.
Well, yeah, because they eventually adjust. Yeah. And
well, you want to start to look to fade some of those teams.
Exactly. All right, Ryan. One team we've enjoyed fading this year is the San Diego Super Sucky Chargers. Mm. They lost to the Tampa Bay Bucs 34-24. Felt a little scared here, Ryan. I'm not going to lie. We had Tampa laying 3, but San Diego moving the ball up and down the field. All of a sudden, my West Coast to East Coast 10 a.m. game theory didn't look too well, but then enter Phillip Rivers for a game-changing pick yep. 6.
Wow. He went from 2 years ago, he was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Now is he even in the top 16?
Is he
in the top 20? Barely, right?
Yeah, he's in the top half, I would say.
Would you take Phillip Rivers or Russell Wilson? Ooh.
That's tough right now. I feel like I feel like Russell Wilson probably just because he's got some mojo.
You're clearly going to take Luck or RG3, but would you take Tannehill? Tannehill, Whedon, probably not.
No.
Alex Smith?
No.
Ooh.
Not Alex Smith right now.
Yeah, but Russell Wilson's probably like, what? Russell Wilson's probably the new Tavares Jackson. Like, you got to be at least that good.
I don't know. We got to give Russell Wilson some credit. He's won some big games. I mean, Tavares Jackson would probably put up the same numbers as a Russell Wilson, but he didn't do it necessarily in the clutch situations. I don't remember Tavares Jackson hitting 50-yard bombs against the Patriots.
See, I just think Russell Wilson's the gatekeeper. You got to be better. You got to have a quarterback that level or better to be a playoff team.
That sounds like a good theory.
Rivers is on the wrong side of that gate.
Yeah, and the gate is not. You know, their entire team is.
Meanwhile,
on their
Tampa,
wrong side.
Not bad.
Sneaky NFC.
They're another team you got to watch out for. I think they're now 7-2 against the spread.
Almost too good to be true, Tampa Bay Bucks.
You know, look for that regression.
Right, Ryan. Another potential chance here for a trap game. The Denver Broncos went into Carolina. Classic non-conference road game. But unlike some teams, the Denver Broncos took care of business. Shellacked Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers 36-14. In my mind, sealing Ron Rivera's fate at the end of the season.
I don't think he's going to get fired. But if he does, how exciting would it be if Chip Kelly came to Carolina?
Now, that would be exciting.
With Cam Newton.
The only thing that wouldn't be exciting is that he wouldn't be coaching my Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, we just need to stop here for a quick second. I'm in a situation in a Las Vegas fantasy football league. Cam Newton has been my quarterback all year.
High-stakes fantasy football.
Extremely mediocre. I'm now in a position where I just need to outscore one team by 5 points. So if Cam Newton is listening, if you could have a big game, it'd be really helpful. Maybe like 300 yards, 2 touchdowns passing, 2 touchdowns running.
Well, Cam Newton's not afraid to do it for himself, Ryan.
Oh, my God.
As he demonstrated when he did the Superman down huge in the Thursday night game against the Giants, he's not afraid to do it for himself. Speaking of doing it huge, Baltimore Ravens at home against the Oakland Raiders. Oakland once again showing that they are not a good team going west to east. Nope. Not a good team overall, losing by 35 points. The only positive here, Ryan, setting themselves up for a close-your-eyes special the following week.
Yep, that's the best part when a team gets blown out. And this was a great weekend. I, of course, have Baltimore over 10 wins. I have Baltimore to win the division. And, between this and Pittsburgh losing Ben Roth, what a great weekend for some of my prop bets. This is...
Looking good, Ryan. Speaking of some West Coast action, Seattle Seahawks took care of business against the New York Jets, 28-7. This is one of the few games I got wrong. I felt like Jets getting 6 points off the bye week. Maybe they'd be able to craft something, but Rex Ryan supposedly crying after this game.
You know what it's time to do? Now, we talked about we got to pay attention to teams that have quit. If Tim Tebow starts, I'll stay away from the Jets. He won't start. Sanchez will remain the quarterback. Give me whoever's playing the Jets next week. I think this team is giving up. I don't know. I mean, we watched this whole game. They just look soft. I mean, Sanchez triple pumped and threw an interception in the end zone. One of the worst interceptions you'll see all season. I don't know. I don't see how his teammates can get motivated to play when he's playing like that.
Well, it's weird, but now, I don't know if you've seen the the ticker on SportsCenter, but Tim Tebow blasted as terrible by teammates.
What?
The ESPN is so desperate. One of the stories they're pumping out for their news cycle is that anonymous players on the Jets are saying that Tim Tebow's terrible. And they don't want him to start.
The owner of the Jets must have made some sort of weird back alley deal, because ESPN has never spent more time covering a bad team.
It's a backup quarterback. He's not relevant.
Here's the deal. There is no way that Tim Tebow would have the same record as Mark Sanchez right now. They would have more wins.
They'd be 500.
All right, that's annoying. We just spent a lot of time on the Jets now.
It's annoying. All right. Speaking of backup quarterbacks, the Philadelphia Eagles backup quarterback, Nick Foles, came in to relieve the once again concussed Michael Vick. He was able to throw a deep bomb to Jeremy Maclin to give a faint heartbeat to the 2012 Philadelphia Eagles season that was then extinguished when he threw a pick six moments later punt return for a touchdown.
I comment on that faint heartbeat?
Yeah.
So the most enjoyable part of my day, since the Giants sucked and I didn't do well gambling, was watching Sean be depressed because the Eagles looked like they were going to suck, Vic getting hurt, and then Foles coming in and doing something good. Sean got the hop in his step, was walking around like they were going to turn it around, and this guy was going to be awesome. And then 5 minutes later, Nick Foles throws a pass to the defensive end, which would have been a pick six, but there was some sort of defensive holding or something. And I remember just looking over and being like, whoa. Whoa.
Well, it felt like we just needed some mojo. We needed I mean, we just need some sort of change, and Nick Foles at least brought that in there.
I mean, a tornado hit the house. There was so much spin. Look at the way he throws that deep ball.
He did look good.
He's in the NFL. I hope he could throw 40 yards to an open guy.
Hey, I haven't seen Michael Vick do that much.
22 for 32. 200 yards, something like that, right?
Yeah, 22 for 32. Basically, I want them to switch up to a more conservative game plan and just go after more high percentage plays, you know.
Now, they have Washington this week, right?
I mean, the reality is it doesn't matter who's quarterback. If you don't know how to tackle, you're not going to win games. I don't know where this came from. This defensive team, even early on, seemed very motivated, spirited, and they were tackling great, making tons of plays.
Yeah, it was.
And then it just fell apart for no reason. I don't understand.
The no reason you speak of is probably when they fired their defensive coordinator and started playing soft ever since.
Well, they were playing soft before that. I mean, that's why they fired him.
Whatever. I don't know. It's all good.
All right, Ryan. Speaking of, wow. Weird game on the West Coast. St. Louis Rams 24, San Francisco 49ers 24, tie game. St. Louis Rams covering the spread. They got 11.5 points. That felt way too high for me. Like we've said all along, Ryan, you can't pick the 49ers covering these big spreads.
Yeah, and this honestly was one of the biggest gambling swings of my life. I had two teasers that involved San Francisco just to win straight up or win by three. I had a massive parlay with the Niners and the Niners money line and the under. I then had some in-game action at under 46, I think, for the game.
It was 45.5.
45.5, and I had some in-game action with just the Niners to win. Niners score that touchdown. They're up four. It's going under. We're talking about, you know, there's going to be a couple thousand dollars in my pocket.
Ka-ching.
Profit. And, they then let St. Louis drive to midfield, fall for the fake punt, let them drive down and score. Boom. Now it's the opposite. So thanks a lot, Jim Harbaugh. You giant sack of shit.
Yeah, how can you be called a great coach when your team gets burned for two fake punts?
And then, all right, this really has to stop. They have rookie symposiums. They have all this crap. Players still didn't know that the game couldn't end. There were people surprised when the game ended. Players were surprised when the game ended at a tie. How does this happen? You played football your whole life. How do you not know that?
It's funny, Ryan. It's just funny. Well, maybe they could ask NFL Network commentator Donovan McNabb. You thought he would have, everyone in the NFL would have learned their lesson after that game.
And I got another idea. Like, much like the NHL, they go to the shootout.
Yeah.
Why
not a field goal shootout?
Or why not it counts as a loss for both teams if you end in a tie? So, team... I've never seen more conservative play calling with 2 minutes left in a game that you're about to...
Well, here's the thing. We're talking about that Donovan McNabb game. And I remember the Eagles got killed, or the Andy Reid in particular got killed for the way he handled that game. Because, he wasn't aggressive, yada, yada, yada. Ended in a tie. That tie was the difference between them going 9-7. Instead, they went 9-6-1, got into the playoffs, and I think they won a couple games. So it's hard to kill these coaches. So, yeah, maybe you got to make a rule change.
Wait, is Donovan McNabb really on NFL Network?
Yeah, he's on the NFC and
How
AFC
fat
playbook.
Is he now? He's probably enormous.
He let himself go when he was in the league, so. I don't think they do a lot of conditioning in the NFL Network.
One last point on that game. Could turn out to be huge for my under 10 win total for the Niners.
Yeah, no, I was licking my chaps. I felt 10 and above felt great.
I also have, I think, Seahawks at 5 or 6 to 1 to win the division.
Another nice
little
pull there.
Very interesting.
Okay, the Houston Texans went into Chi-Town, took care of business. Seemed like a real sloppy game. Jay Cutler got concussed. Jason Campbell came in. Just nobody could get anything done in this one. Houston, 1-point dog, and they took care of that as they won outright by 7.
They're good. God, you said that hit that Cutler took was vicious. I saw the guy got fined $30,000 today for it. I don't know. I have a feeling that with a week of practice, Jason Campbell won't be bad. I mean, he's shown his whole career he can be a slightly above average quarterback, and you can make the argument that Cutler wasn't much more than that. So I don't know. I think this might be a nice time to grab the Bears because people are going to be fading them a little too much, I think.
Okay, Ryan, speaking of another injured quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger got knocked out of the game, but Byron Leftwich came in and helped steal a victory for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They won 16-13 at home, sloppy field conditions. I tweeted out that I was all over the under here.
Yep.
And there was never doubting this.
So, yeah, the only action I had on this game was second half under. So I had really no dog. I mean, I was that bet was in from the second I made it. Man, did the refs want Pittsburgh to win this game. Now, and don't get me wrong, I had Pittsburgh in a eliminator pool. So I needed them to win too, but they did not deserve to win that game. Not for a set. Kansas City got screwed twice royally. Man, I don't know. And if they score that touchdown and they called back with holding, there's no way Leftwich is bringing him back. He's not a good quarterback. I don't know.
Yeah, and so it looks like Roethlisberger is out next week.
Yep. Karma's a bitch, Ben.
Which is, pretty surprising because normally he doesn't take no for an answer.
Ooh. Oh. All right, Sean.
Well, Big Ben, baby. All right, Ryan.
I had another bad week in the pick'em.
Yeah, shoot over to the ESPN.
I'm sitting in 11th place with only 68. This is going to get expensive for me, Sean. I really got to focus. Still holding down the top spot, Ratchford, 78. He's up a full C-note on me now. This is getting dangerous. Number two, we got some dude named Pickmaster. Don't know who that is.
Oh, that's our buddy Croy on Twitter.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
oh,
he's... Man, or, nice.
Having a nice little, he had a nice week last week at 77, tied for third, RG3 for the money,
Sully. Our buddy Sully,
and E. White, and then coming in fifth with 75, dude's name is Boobs.
So what, wait, go over, so what is it, whoever beats you, they get $10 so, per point they beat you,
so
right?
I forget the exact, we'll have to look up the contest rules, Sean, but I believe we said top three get t-shirts.
Yes.
And the number one player gets $100 plus $10 per point he beats me by.
Wow, this is getting ugly.
Yep. And I guess we should bring up that you are 1 point back of me, sitting in 13th place, 67.
All right, well, so I have forgot to make some picks, so. All right, Ryan, let's get to the action. Take care of business
All
here.
Right.
Week 11.
Thursday night. Week starts off generously for all of us with a nice close your eyes special as the Dolphins coming off their thumping head to Buffalo, where Buffalo is laying 1.5 points. I don't know. So this, I made this, I actually guessed the lines on Saturday this past week before the games were even played. I thought a lot of the pro guys do that so you don't get affected by one game. So I thought this would be Dolphins by 2.5. And, wow. So, I think there's a pretty substantial line movement. Maybe I had a little too much on the Dolphins, but I think I would probably like the Dolphins side in this game regardless of the Close Your Eyes special. So, yeah, give me that free money. I think it, what did the Close Your Eyes get up to? 7-1 now for the
seven
season?
7-1. Exactly. 7-1. Or last week might have been 8-1. But, yeah, it's a very strong trend. We got two of them this week, so you can just lock those up. I'm on
Parlay
the Dolphins
City,
with you.
Baby.
Oh, and speaking of locks, Ryan, as we talked about, the taking the Jazz at home with the team coming off a back-to-back. Well, for you gamblers, this Monday, I forget who the Jazz are playing, but they got a team coming off a back-to-back, so make sure you
hit that up. Is that right? Actually, if you listen to this before the games tip tonight, I guess it would be.
Yes.
Thursday night, Miami, who's always overvalued, is heading on the second night of a back-to-back, coming from L.A., heading to Denver, where Denver, it looks to be opening around a pick 'em. So I'd say wait till tip. I bet you that line closes around Miami by 3, 3.5. And I'd probably take Denver there. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, I love the logic there, but, man, I just don't know if I can take this Heat team to lose back-to-back games.
They're soft. Anyway. All right, Sean, your Philadelphia Eagles head to Washington, FedEx Field, to play RG3 and the Fighting Obamas. Redskins laying 3.5.
Man, so they had to give us the hook to make things interesting. Nick Foles starting quarterback. Ryan, I'm going to continue to fade the Philadelphia Eagles until they prove me wrong here, even though I am scared of this hook. Redskins coming off a bye, strong at home. Like I said, this Eagles team couldn't tackle Felix Jones. I think they're going to have much harder time tackling RG3.
It is a matchup of a team whose coach said that their season is done and a team who is playing like their season is done. I'm still a little scared to fade the Eagles as if the season's done, but I think the vets will see the writing on the wall. They will not be a dynamic team with Nick Foles. All of that being said, NFC's divisional game. I would love to see the record, Andy Reid's record, when he has to bring in a backup, but has that full week of preparation.
Strong history there.
Whether it's Jeff Garcia or Trent Edwards or AJ Feely or Vince Young, I'm going to take Philly here plus the 3.5. I think they make it a game. And yeah, that maybe it is a trap. Who knows? Next up, wow, the Detroit Lions coming off their really poor performance against Minnesota, hosting the Green Bay Packers, where the Packers are laying 3. Here, I thought this would be 5, 6. Give me Green Bay all day long. This Detroit team just, if this was 5 or 6, I might consider Detroit as the back door, a little easier to remain open. I just like the Packers coming off the bye. The Lions are who we thought they were. They're garbage.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, you got to go Green Bay here, like you said, coming off a bye. Never feel great about it.
Feels chalky.
Yeah, it does, but it also feels like the right side of the line here. This Detroit team was a fraud, and I don't know. Maybe I think this should be a little bit bigger.
All right, next up, the Arizona Cardinals, who, man, they're close to being a team that might give up on the season. Head to Atlanta, face the Falcons, coming off that loss. I would imagine the Falcons will be focused here coming off that loss. But can you really get up to play the Cardinals?
Nope.
Oh, 9.5. Why can't this be 10?
I don't know. I feel like I've taken Arizona plus 9.5 before.
I'm burned.
So I got to try it one more time. Arizona is coming off a bye.
Arizona coming off a bye.
They've lost 5 in a row going into the bye. I feel like a bye has got to shake you up and help you cover a 9.5-point spread.
And I do think that the Falcons don't have a great defense, don't have a great pass rush. I'm not sure. Now, don't get me wrong.
Cardinals defense, I think, can keep it close.
And Arizona's offensive line is bad, but I don't think the Falcons will be able to exploit it. I actually think the
I mean, how much better are the Cowboys than the Cardinals?
A lot. Probably 5 or 6 points.
It's probably right on the number.
Yeah.
All right. That being said, I like the Cardinals getting 9.5.
Yeah, I'll grab the dog here, too. All right, Sean. We talked about it earlier. Bucks 7-2 against the spread. Might be time to start fading them. They head to Carolina where they face the Panthers, who I don't believe have quit on the season yet.
They're 2-7.
I know. I don't think the Bucks should be favored here. I don't care how bad the Panthers' record is. They've been in most of their games. This was only the second time they've gotten beat by more than 4 points, I think it was, or 6 points. I'm taking the Panthers plus 1.5 at home.
Yeah, I like the Bucks under 3 here. I just do. They're just a much more solid team. They've shown they can go on the road and win games. This Carolina team's broken. Like I said it weeks ago, until I see Cam straighten his posture up in a post-game press conference, I'm not going to pick the Carolina Panthers.
All right, Sean, next up, the Cleveland Browns, coming off their bye week, head down to Dallas to face the Dallas Cowgirls. This feels good, Sean. Cleveland,
I know, Cleveland,
7.5.
This is perfect to go against the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas, a little inflated after beating the pile of shit known as the Philadelphia Eagles.
They're going to be so down. They just won a huge road divisional game, heading home to face a non-conference team they should beat. Cleveland has been feisty this year. They play good defense. They play good
Trent Richardson. He's a young man. You know what I mean? Like, he's coming off a week of rest. That young man, he's going to be running hard.
Yeah. I mean, Jim Brown did right to motivate him by saying he didn't even think he'd be a he didn't think he was even a starting running back or something like that.
Jim Brown, he just shit on running backs. Is that his entire career?
Well, I think what happened was I think someone told him or tricked him and said that Trent Richardson was a white guy. So he felt the need to come out and say
Jim Brown, world-class athlete, world-class racist.
Yep. All right, Sean. Next up, the New York Jets, like we talked about, have packed it in, head to St. Louis to face the Rams, who... Man, I think I'd be scared to take the Rams if they won that game last week, but the tie has just got to leave a bad taste in your mouth. We talked about this Jets team. I really like the way the Rams get after the quarterback. Sam Bradford's actually slinging the rock, and I think the big X factor here is Danny Amendola is just not guardable. He dominated the 49ers defense last week. I think he had 10 catches. I love the Rams here at 3.
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at in the ESPN league, it's 3.5. I still like it there.
Oh, wow.
So basically, the Jets went from Seattle back to New York, where they get a shitstorm of media about how the team sucks. You have a crying Rex Ryan. Then you got to fly out to St. Louis to play in a dome. It's just a recipe for disaster. Give me the Rams all the way. Feel pretty good about this one.
All right, next up. Ooh, Colts-Patriots. This normally would have been a jizz fest. I don't know if they flexed this out to the late game, but instead of Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady, it's new Hall of Famer Andrew Luck versus Tom Brady. I can't wait to see the comparisons of how Andrew Luck is doing compared to Tom Brady at this point in his career. Colts are getting 9.5 here. That feels like too much. Not only the Patriots not that good on defense, but the Colts are a classic backdoor team. I know they're winning games. They're still not as good as their record says. They have a negative point differential, but they have the ability to backdoor a game, and the Patriots have been leaving the backdoor open for everyone. So I'm going to take the Colts here.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills backdoored them, not really backdoored them. The Bills covered easily. And had a chance to win outright. I think you're going to see a similar occurrence here. I think Colts will be down 6 with the ball with 2 minutes. And actually, Ryan, we'll save that for the end. But
yep,
might be a little upset that, special
you
there.
Saying that dog's live and getting off the chain
might be getting loose.
All right, next up,
they are coming off a long week of rest. I don't know if do we put that in there.
Yeah, they're coming off that Thursday game. Jacksonville heads to Houston,
also coming off a long week of rest.
Where they are, it seems like every week they're getting double digits. This week they are getting 15 points. God, it's the NFL. I'll take the 15 points.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to kill.
That's crazy.
I'm going to kill myself for taking the Jags, but 15.5, 16.5,
not
it's
a big
just too much
this week, Sean.
Just
a lot
too
of big
much.
Spreads. All right, next up, Cincinnati travels to Kansas City, where Cincinnati is a 3-point road favorite. Kansas City showed a little life. Somehow they're still playing for Romeo Crennel. I don't know here. I think...
What is there to know, Ryan? The Kansas City Chiefs have not led in a game the entire season.
I was
going to
say, here's why I'm nervous. Typically, I thought this line would be 3.5, where they bait you into taking the Chiefs. The fact that they're not doing that makes me believe the Chiefs do have a shot. I'll take this Bengals team. That pass rush looked really good. I picked them up in a couple of fantasy leagues just to play against Kansas City.
Yeah, so did I.
Let's roll with the Bengals, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, are you going to feel bad for picking the Bengals? If the Chiefs win the game, or lose by 1 or 2 points somehow and this doesn't cover, are you really going to be kicking yourself? No.
No, you're right.
I'll take the Chiefs if they're getting double digits.
All right, Sean. Next up, close your eyes special number 2.
Call it the Ray Charles, the Oakland Raiders, baby.
New Orleans. I know it's not west-east, but they head west.
Well, more importantly, Ryan, it's that slow Oakland turf. New Orleans is 1-3 against the spread on grass this year.
Well, it's not just turf, Sean. It's
a baseball field.
It's a baseball field they're playing on.
Yeah, I guess when they say turf, they mean artificial turf. But whatever that grass they grow out in Oakland is super slow. That's why Darius Hayward Bay looks so slow.
The Raiders are getting 4.5.
5 some places.
This opened at 6. So here's another little point on this game. This opened at 6, 6.5. The Saints have gotten 92% of the money, and the spread's dropped to 4.5.
Yeah, I mean, this feels like a public job where they're just all piling on. They forget that New Orleans basically beat a shitty Eagles team, and then they won a divisional game at home. So
even when they're good, they're not a good road team.
Yeah, even if this was the Saints last year, I would take this.
Yeah, this is a classic game that the Raiders somehow win straight up, I think.
Yeah, Raiders always squeak out a couple at home, and I think this might be one of them.
I guess one thing to point out, it sounds like McFadden's not going to play again, right?
Well, originally, early on in the week, they said he was in a boot, and it didn't look good, but then it seemed like it was a little bit... We're recording this Wednesday night. It seemed like there was a little bit more progress, so it's a high ankle sprain.
All right.
Which is always a bad sign.
We're still taking the close your eyes special. All right, next up, Denver, about to walk away with the division, host the Chargers in Mile High. The Chargers are getting 7.5 points. That's not enough, Sean. Give me the Denver Broncos. I'm not falling for the trap. I'm taking that chalk. It's Chalk City right here. But they gave you that half point to try to lure you in.
Well, call me a guppy, Ryan, because I just took the bait. I like the Chargers getting 7.5 here. Not going to make a really strong case for it, except that it's a divisional game. This is the Chargers' season. I think the Broncos can afford to keep it close here, maybe even lose the game. And 7.5, I mean, that was a really bad loss for the San Diego Chargers at home. They got embarrassed pretty hard. Phillip Rivers, if anything, is a feisty competitor. I think they keep it close here. I think the Chargers lose by 4.
Yeah, and in the back of my head, I hear myself saying, North Turner has Peyton Manning's number. Part of me doesn't want to take this because I've taken all the other touchdown plus spreads. So I wanted to throw one chalk on it.
I know. I hear you.
All right, next up, I was really eager to take this at Ravens plus 3.5. When it opened this week, the Ravens traveled to Pittsburgh. Well, now, in light of the news about Ben Roethlisberger's rib, the Ravens are now laying 3.5. Ugh. Ben Roethlisberger is... Byron Leftwich is awful.
Yeah, and the ESPN thing, it says...
Ravens!
Hold on, it says Steelers minus 3.5. I'm assuming they're not. They forgot to update it.
Well, they probably just lock it in. They're idiots. They might just lock that in.
All right.
Baltimore, well, baby, all day.
Ryan, no one in the National Football League is worth a 7-point swing.
True.
As much as I like the Baltimore Ravens, and I do. I was big on them beginning of the season.
Actually, that's not true, Sean.
What's not true?
The 7 points.
You don't think of... I mean, that's just common NFL logic.
Oh, I think there's probably a handful of quarterbacks that are worth 7 points. Is Ben Roethlisberger one of them? Maybe, because the backup's so bad.
I think Byron Leftwich on a week of practice, Tomlin is a solid coach. That Pittsburgh stadium did not get up for that game on Monday night. I think they're going to get up for this game in a big way. This is Pittsburgh Steelers, Baltimore Raven. Storied rivalry, and I'm pretty sure Ravens went in and waxed the Steelers in Pittsburgh last year. Pittsburgh feels like it's comeback time. Steelers is a 3.5-point dog historically. I just love that bet. So give that to me all day.
Yeah, the ESPN was making a big deal with this injury. Like, if Roethlisberger is out for the season, their chances to win the Super Bowl go from 4.5% to 1.9%. It's like, that's not really that big of a... I don't know. Yeah, yeah, I'm still taking the Ravens here. I watched Leftwich play. He's awful. Anyway, Monday Night Football.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. Divisional game, no, 3.5-point
home dog. You're probably doing
the
smart thing. I get it.
I didn't, you know, I was listening on the radio, so maybe I'm less biased.
Chicago Bears head to the Yay area to face the San Francisco 49ers. Where the Bears, so it sounds like Alex Smith is going to play, Jay Cutler is not. The Bears are getting 4 points. So that brings, I thought this line might be Niners by 2.5 with a healthy Cutler. Line's not adjusting much. Makes me feel like, even though I think Jason Campbell with a week of practice is going to come out. I think he's going to play well. All right, just changed my pick mid-thought. This Bears defense is tailor-made to stop the Niners offense. They run the ball. They throw short stuff. Give me the Bears. The Bears win. The defense scores a touchdown.
Yeah, I think if you're looking at matchups, this Bears defense is going to be able to match up well with Kaepernick. The stuff he's been successful.
I think Smith's going to play.
Oh, is he? Oh, okay. Well, either way.
I don't think that matters, though.
Either way, I kind of like the I like the Bears defense going against either Alex Smith or Kaepernick. Kaepernick coming in doing his gimmicky stuff or just Alex Smith being Alex Smith. Yeah, the Bears' defense has been amazing this year, and I think they kind of step up here on the road. And I think a week, like you said, a week of practice with Jason Campbell, he'll be serviceable. And, yeah, the big story this year is that Jay Cutler really hasn't done shit. I mean, he's rung up a couple of big plays to Brandon Marshall, but really, in clutch, and the way they've been winning games has just been through their defense.
Yeah, and I don't know, this... I just feel like to beat the Bears, you got to take what they give you, and you also have to be able to stretch the field. And San Francisco can't stretch the field, period.
Yeah. I mean, look at how Houston struggled against them. And yeah. I feel like Houston's a much, much better offense.
Yes, sir.
Granted, it was Chicago at home, but still. Yeah, but still, Ryan.
All right. Who are you taking, Sean? Lock of the week.
Lock of the week? And we can't use the Close Your Eyes special?
As always, you cannot use the Close Your Eyes special.
I will select the... Well, I'll go with the Indianapolis Colts. Get 9.5 for my lock of the week.
Yep. I had one going in. But I want to officially change that. Give me... the St. Louis Rams to clobber the Jets. The Jets are done. They've given up on their season.
That's a good one. I like that.
All right, Sean. Who's your money line dog upset pick of the week?
I'm going to go Oakland, Ryan. I'm going to go Oakland.
Yeah, that's a very good pick. I'm going to go a little deeper.
All right.
And this is a good one. You get this one, you probably get like plus 280 on this. Cleveland Browns are going to go into Dallas.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
And knock off the Cowboys. I really like this plus 8. Probably would have been my lock if I didn't realize that the Jets had given up on their season. I really like Dallas to struggle in this game. And Cleveland, I think Cleveland will have a chance to win this down the stretch.
All right, Ryan.
What a week for teases.
Lay out your three-team tease.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all these juicy dogs. You got to just roll. All right, Cleveland plus 14.
All right, I'm on. That's one of mine, too.
That's in there for me.
Okay, I'll let you pick yours, and then I'll go.
Next up, Carolina plus 7.5 at home.
Ugh.
And finally, this could be controversial. Nah. I'll throw in some Thursday night action for everyone. Give me Miami plus 8.5.
Plus 8.5?
Oh, it's 1.5 in the con. It's actually moved to 2.5 in some places. Give me plus 7.5, plus 8.5. Not much difference there. Give me those.
Okay, I'll go with...
My alternate would have been Denver minus one, 1.5.
Okay, I'll go with Cleveland getting 13.5.
Oh.
Really like
it's
that.
It's 8, actually, so you'd get the 14.
I'll go with Philadelphia getting 9.5.
Oh, Jesus.
And I'll go with the Jags getting 21.5.
Oh, went for it.
Hey, that feels good, 21.5.
This line is all over the board. It's everywhere from 14.5 all the way up to 17.
Yeah, if you can get 23 points on an NFL team, you just got to take that.
Holy crap.
All right, holy crap indeed. That does it for the Week 11 edition of the Sports Gambling Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Gambling Podcasts. Of course, you can download the program at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Rocking it on Stitcher. Make sure you guys star it, share it, fave it, download it, spread the word on iTunes as well. For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I am Sean, stacking the money green, and he is Ryan.
Kramer.
Let it ride.